Forever Dog.
Rose and Jamie are two best friends,
and they love Sex and the City.
And they couldn't help but wonder,
do you love it too?
Carrie,
Miranda,
Samantha,
Charlotte,
Cosmos,
Emotions,
Frenchies,
dudes.
So many dudes.
Every little dude.
All the dudes.
And we couldn't help but wonder.
With Jamie Lee
and Rose Cerno.
I'm Skylar Hanrath.
And I'm Rose Cerno.
And this is
Couldn't Help But Wonder. A podcast where we talk about Sex and the City and how it relates
to us.
That was a beautiful harmony.
Thank you so much. I thought
You're
so
welcome.
Too. How are you doing?
Good. Jamie is not with us today. She's dealing with family stuff, but it is me and the ever trusty Skylar. You know, before we get into who were you this week, Sky, we had a question on Instagram. I thought we could maybe answer. Would you be up
for
that?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, we got a question.
This is kind of a grab bag loose episode because we're wrapping up and so many things. I'm into it. Yeah.
Yeah, we're just like rolling with stuff. Okay. So this is a long question, but I feel like we can do it. Anna McDonald says, Jamie, so sorry for your loss, keeping you and your mom in my thoughts. Rose and Skylar, I have been really struggling with something this week, and I feel like you are both so empathetic and good communicators, and I feel like you could help.
Oh, cool.
I'm guessing other listeners
also, thank you for saying that, listener.
I know.
It's very nice.
I'm guessing other listeners are dealing with this too, to some degree, and maybe you are. Would love advice. So I am fully vaccinated, believe in vaccines, etc. But some of my friends are not getting the COVID vaccine. It seems like they've just been sucked down these conspiracy rabbit holes saying it's not safe, alters your DNA, etc., etc. However, now that states are starting to fully open, in parentheses, mine just fully opened slash lifted all restrictions this week. These same friends are starting to go out, make plans, and basically fully join back into society, and it's really starting to bother me. It would be one thing if they chose not to get vaccinated or wanted to wait longer for whatever their personal reason is and just stay hunkered down, socially distanced, and always wore masks, but they are straight up not doing that. They're wanting to go to bars and restaurants and all those things unvaccinated. I find this behavior really selfish and reckless, and it's not fair that we all have to get vaccinated and deal with the risks and side effects that they're just not and putting everyone else at risk. My question is, how would you deal with this? Would you say something and just accept that could mean not hanging out with my close friends anymore? How would you approach the issue and what would you say? Or just decide for myself who I am comfortable being around? Thanks for listening.
Oh God, that is such a hard spot to be in. I don't know. I really don't know what the best approach is because I am very pro getting vaccinated. I was fortunate to get vaccinated fairly early when it became available to us here in California. It just sounds like her friends are being really, really irresponsible. And I don't know how really to navigate that water with them. I'm glad that this listener's vaccinated. I would encourage this listener in the most like generous spirited way to just keep trying to speak the gospel of being vaccinated. Like it my feeling is always like I defer to people with more expertise than I have. And I think the best way to keep those people in your life is to speak about the positives that you've had as a vaccinated person and keep, I suppose also like, because a lot of like the worry for people who are like skeptical of getting vaccinated is like downstream consequences that we don't really know about. But we're fairly far into it. The people that are still getting sick are mostly the people who are unvaccinated. I hope that this listener can just underline that for their friends. But I don't envy their position at all. It sounds too awful. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I have exact opposite advice as Skylar. I don't think it's worth preaching to anybody. People who don't believe in vaccines, there's nothing you're going to say to change them. I don't believe in having those discussions. I don't think that not getting the vaccine is unreasonable and not rooted in science. So breaking down the logical, scientific reasons will not move your friends. Plus, your friends are adults. I don't really think there, this sounds harsh, but I don't think there's anything for you to do. You're not their parents. You're not their spouse. You're not their kids. These are adults. You can't tell them what to do. It's on you. I think this is an example. This question is, you're asking, what are you supposed to do to them and tell them? And my advice is, you need to make choices within you.
Yes.
The only thing you can do, you cannot control your friend's behavior at all. All you can do is decide how annoyed you are by this. If you're so annoyed you can't be around them, you can't be around them. If you can tolerate it, tolerate it. But this is something about your decision. There's no advice I would give about this is how you change your friends. Your friends aren't changing. So, but I think for your sanity, you have to decide your boundaries.
Yeah, I think that my position just comes from, because I hear what you're saying, and I feel that too, because I've definitely had to like fully just like kind of drop people from my life for making decisions I like can't support and like don't want to be around the consequences of. I'm just, when I say like proselytize pro-vaccine positions, I'm just like trying to problem solve like how to keep them in your life. But I get it. And I'm also,
I think
like,
keeping them in your life is, I'm not saying that her only choice is to not talk to them.
Yeah.
My advice is not to try and change them. My advice is you either accept them and let that go and don't talk about that and you have them as your friends. Or if you can't, then you can't.
But I still think it's important to try if you can. But I also see like picking the battles that are potentially winnable and like giving up on the ones that
plenty of people didn't get the vaccine and are out partying. There's nothing you're going to say. That's just really, you know, that's really selfish my behavior. One, and that's that. I mean,
my one, and I know that, I assume that the people who are skeptical of getting vaccines are not going to take this as something reliable, but, there was a great recent This American Life episode about there's this, guy who's made his entire career in right-wing consulting, who is very, very pro-vaccination. He put together this entire campaign, like an entire focus group with very committed anti-vax Republican-leaning folk, and like really brought in every sort of person that they may listen to in order to try to convince them to get the vaccine. And this piece is wonderful because it like builds to like Chris Christie, who obviously got COVID, had a terrible time with it within like the White House, this place that, as we know, like is supposed to be safe. But of course, there was a massive corona outbreak there because everybody in the Trump White House was skeptical of mask
wouldn't
protocols
masks,
and what have you.
Yeah.
And his particular testimony to these vaccine skeptical people was convincing for some of them. And I thought it was like very, very, I think it's a great piece. And also like, if these people are conspiratorial and anti-vax, hearing from somebody who not only got COVID, but is from the party that propagates so much conspiracy theory thinking on this front, I found it very powerful. But of course,
you already
was vaccinated.
Okay, yeah. So you have two different point of views. You have the cynical point of view or quote unquote practical point of view for me, which is like this question, I think, is your own question in your heart. How much... You know, sometimes you find out stuff about people that you were close to and it really makes you reevaluate the relationship. I mean, I do think there are certain things that people believe that for me are would end a friendship. If this is not that for you and you still love them, then I think you just have to do a lot of acceptance work and you know, you have to accept them for who they are and maybe
like get them in like your passenger seat and like drive to the local CVS and be like, what do you say we go in here and see if they might have some interesting stuff available behind
Skylar's
the pharmacy counter.
Too. You know, I'm basically like, don't even fucking try. And Skylar's like, try. So, you know, you have both perspectives. Let us know what happens. Either way, thank you for the question.
Yeah, it is. I hope we get to answer more questions. I think it's really fun. And
yeah, hit us up. Skylar, who were you this week?
Both my who I was this week, because I've been thinking about them, both my who I was this week and what I'm horny for this week are things that have not yet happened.
Woo-hoo!
But I already have, I'm like all of the core four when they go to the Hamptons for 4th of July, because 4th of July is, by the time this episode comes out, just happened. What a great 4th of July we all had. At the time of this recording, I have plans. It's going to be fun. Looking forward to it. Just hang out with like one of our listeners who I knew before she started listening, but like our best friends like live down the street and we're just going to all hang out and like play games and like drink beer and like
wait, that reminds you of them going to the Hamptons that you're going to be in Los Angeles at an apartment?
Yeah, it's well, I've never been to the Hamptons, so I think that's what it wait, must be like.
That whole thing is them dressing up and going to like the most glamorous beach in New York.
Yeah, we all watch the same thing. Yeah, and I took away from the they're all going to be in an apartment in Los Angeles. Yeah, yeah.
In East Hollywood, just playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, it's going to rule.
Your version of the Hamptons is really specific.
I thank you so much. Yes, I think so too.
Okay, well, I condone. I sign off.
Who were you this week?
I think I was Samantha. I feel like I've just become like, now that I'm an employed TV writer, my
which also I feel like we haven't underlined the congratulations on that.
Oh,
which,
thank
like,
you so
amazing.
Much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I talked too much about that on the show, but I did start writing on a sitcom for Fox called Pivoting.
Amazing.
And it stars Eliza Coupe from Happy Endings, Jennifer Goodwin, Maggie Q. This is my first Writers Guild TV writing job, so I'm really happy.
So exciting.
Thank you. It's an amazing group of writers, just the funniest, most talented people. And now that I'm, you know, big girl, writing girl, my general spending habits, which have always been hashtag reckless and hashtag out of control, are even more so. And the other night I, granted it was the day before I got my period, so my whole body was just like ready to fall apart. But I had 2 glasses of white wine, an incredibly creamy pasta.
Oh, wow.
At a fancy restaurant. And then I came home and ate an entire thing of red licorice. Yeah, and then I promptly had the worst migraine of my life and then forced myself
what?
To throw up.
With the digestif of licorice. And
yeah, I literally barfed up the licorice and could taste it. And I was like, I'm not eating for a while. So it was definitely like, imagine like a fat, greedy king who like ate too much and then just like barfs in a bucket. That's like who I was. I definitely like need to rein it in. yeah, I definitely was like, I definitely am turning into like a greedy king.
Yeah. You're hitting the town. You're really tearing it up.
I'm really hitting like the cream sauces and the grilled breads and like the sugary wines. And then I'm like literally sticking to I don't have an eating disorder, but I've learned over the years that if I have a migraine, if I make myself throw up, because my migraines are always food based. It's always mm-hmm. because I had either too much salt or too much sugar. And then my head starts to hurt. A lot of times it has to do with wine. And if I barf, I don't think anyone should make themselves barf or become bulimic. Don't cancel me. But if I barf on like the every 5 months when I get a migraine, it goes away. So thank God next time you eat like a disgusting pig who like thinks they're never going to eat again. It's not sustainable. So yeah, I am becoming a little bit of a Marie Antoinette, and I need to slow down.
I gotta say, it doesn't like that you had to go home to get the licorice. Like, it doesn't seem like a good restaurant. They should have a nice little menu that they bring out to you. Can we wash down the pasta and wine with
My
some of our fine
was
selections
paying for it? And I like, they were like, do you want dessert? And I kind of felt greedy, so I was like, no, thank you. But obviously, I did. So then I came home and ate dessert.
I get it.
Yeah, I also got my period the next day. So like part of the eating like a fucking monster and feeling sick to my stomach was just monthly hormones. And the migraine was probably a little period related. But I think I feel a little bit like Samantha because I'm like feeling like a combination of like fabulous and out of control. Mm-hmm. I know. I'm also going to the Yuba River over the holiday weekend.
Exciting.
Yeah, my best friends are going to be up there. I say best friends, but I have like 13 best friends. So if you're listening to this and you are also one of my best friends, don't worry, you're included. But I made a last minute decision to go. I had plans to hang out with some friends in Los Angeles.
You were coming to our Dungeons and Dragons night.
I mean, honestly, Skylar, I actually would love to come to a game night and you should invite me to one.
Oh, I'd love to. That'd
That's
be fun.
That's a side note. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really want to become like a game person. I think I really like games. But I had plans in LA, and then all of a sudden I was like, I have Monday off and my really close friends are at an Airbnb with a hot tub at the Yuba River. So I was like, fuck it. And I bought plane tickets.
Oh, wow.
A round trip ticket to Sacramento over the holiday weekend. It costs. Skylar, you want to guess?
From LA to Sacramento this weekend.
Round trip. Yeah.
I'm guessing they paid you to get on the flight. That does not sound like the most appealing flight, but $200.
Oh, Skylar, it was $600.
Oh my God.
It's three times more expensive because everyone, the flights the this River. Weekend are out of control. Everyone is leaving town. Because it's the first time you can travel over 4th of July since the pandemic.
Yeah. And except for like skeptical people who didn't think it was real and were doing it last year.
Right. But, no, my sister was like, that's so fucking stupid. You could go to Europe. And I was like, you know what? If there's one thing I've learned from last year, it's that the one thing, not the one thing, literally everything I feel comfortable spending money on, literally everything, is spending time with people that I love. Like this Delta variant is coming for us. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to see as many of my loved ones as I can before I have to like be alone in a closet again.
No, completely. I mean, that's what like, ideally money is like for experiences, is for your expenses
for
too,
but
like
close people.
Yeah.
So it's expensive, but I think it'll be wonderful. And also these best friends don't live in LA anymore. They live in Canada. So like, I really want to spend as much time as I can with them. And there's truly nothing as fun. So with that said, we're 100 minutes into our podcast and it is a Sex in the City podcast. But at this point, you already know us. You already love us. You're already in for the rants and the ride. We're on the movie Sex in the City 2, part 4, the last fucking part of this movie that won't end. We keep covering it because the movie itself literally won't end.
1,000%.
We're giving you the same experience as watching it. It's just like, when does this stop?
We are as interminable as this movie. You want to hit pause on us every couple of minutes and be like, God, another 40 minutes?
There's more? What? Okay, take us away, Skylar.
So the final part of SATC 2 opens with the Core 4 back in their suite after Samantha's interrogation, where they get more bad news. And just reminder, in case you're weirdly jumping into part 4 of our 4-part coverage, Samantha had sex with Dick Spert, Ricard Spert, a Scandinavian architect, on some sand dunes and in Abu Dhabi, a conservative country where you should not be having sex on sand dunes. And Miranda helped lawyer her way out of trouble for that, or excuse me, lawyer her way out of bigger consequences for that. And
she busted her out of jail.
Yeah, there's a 45 minute heist sequence. So it's really cool. So that's where we're picking up. So the final part of SATC 2 opens with the Core 4 back in their suite after Samantha's interrogation, where they get more bad news. The Sheik canceled his meeting with Samantha and he's no longer paying for their room. It's $22,000 a night, so they have to book it to get packed and leave before they get charged. As they do, Carrie writes Garau a note thanking him for the talks and the walk on the beach and making her feel better about her and Big, honestly. And she also leaves him a stack of cash so he can take a trip to see his wife.
As soon as they get downstairs, there are even more problems. Carrie doesn't have her passport. She left it at the outdoor flea market called the Souk, and Charlotte forgot to get gifts for Harry and the girls. So they decide that even though they have to catch a plane, they need to rush to the souk so Carrie can go back to the shoe seller and get her passport and Charlotte can do some quick, thoughtless gift buying.
And luckily, the shoe seller does have the passport. It's like it all works out. So it seems like it's going to be like a great time getting out of the souk. And then on their way out of the souk, some salesmen spot Charlotte and Samantha and sell them on the Forbidden Experience, which is the thing that Garau warned only Carrie and Miranda about, wherein salespeople in the souk will basically...
They sell them fake bags. It's like,
yes,
it's like in Canal Street in New York. It's
yeah. It's like, Carrie tries to end it as quickly as possible once they get upstairs. And in the confusion, the sales guys think that Samantha took one of their fake bags, all of which builds to the sales guys following them down into the souk and yanking on Samantha's actual bag until it breaks. And Samantha loses it. It launches her condoms everywhere. And all of these men start gathering around and yelling at Samantha. And she decides that the move there is to just start flipping off the whole crowd.
Yeah, so it's kind of like everything goes wrong. They were warned not to follow strange men into back rooms to get knockoff purses. Of course, they do it anyway. It becomes a tense scene in the back, you know, and then Samantha, who's had the hardest time in the Middle East, ends up condoms on the ground, screaming at people. And it's just like, bitch, this is not New York City. This is not America. Women cannot act like this.
Yeah. And also, yeah. And also one of the things, because we talked a bit about it last week, but like these four very wealthy white women being in this, being in Abu Dhabi, and then Samantha is sort of like being so tired.
Aggressively
with the trip.
American.
Yeah. And then just like flipping everybody off. It's so like, it's such a weird scene where it's like, I it's supposed to be kind of a laugh scene, I think, but it's actually like upsetting. And like Samantha's being like terrible.
She's basically like Karen on the loose in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
Honestly, Sex in the City 2 should be called Sex in the City 2, : Karen's go to the Middle East.
1000%.
Karen's on the loose. Okay, so Miranda insists that they put their heads down and just try to get away. And there's kind of this vibe in the way that this part is directed, like these girls are going to get like raped or beat up or kidnapped. Yeah. Like there's just a vibe.
The overtones are not great.
Yeah, the overtones are like they're in danger here. They've crossed a line. When Carrie suddenly makes eye contact with two women who are in niqabs, so they motion to Carrie and the core four follows these women into a flower shop. And so they follow them in and then they like take off their niqabs.
Mm-hmm.
And the women are all like stunning and fabulous and have like great hair and eye makeup and look really pretty. And it turns out they love that Samantha flipped everyone off and they're big fans of New York and they're all like fashionistas. And it's the idea that like, you know, these women are sort of dealing with the same kinds of things. And I mean, one thing I did like about that scene was that it was like women helping women and that there was like this idea of like, I don't know. I like that.
Yeah. I definitely like that concept. It's still all in the context of this weird, like,
it's because really also badly done, but and I also think them being really fashionable and like cool and like sexy and just looking like some like sexy Beverly Hills like Kardashians underneath was cool, because it was like, okay, underneath these things they're just like you guys, they're like gorgeous fashionistas.
There is like a rough line though where like Carrie's VO breaks in and it's like, she says, underneath like hundreds of years of tradition, we were just alike, which is like kind of like Islamophobic in the context of the scene, which is not cool. So after they bond with the women from the souk, the core four use the women's niqabs to get away. Charlotte also grabs her gifts after all. Unfortunately, they can't get a cab until Carrie remembers Claudette Colbert showing off her leg in It Happened One Night. She tries it herself and it works. A cab stops and they make it to their flight after all.
It's so crazy that it's like, and now we're only 4.5 hours in. We still have a whole section that's like back in New York.
Yes. Yeah.
So Carrie makes it home to an empty apartment. Charlotte, meanwhile, has a sweet reunion with Harry and the girls. Big shows up a few hours later and he and Carrie talk.
Just so you know, that really tore me up.
I'm sorry.
You know, it seems to me that you're a bit of a rookie when it comes to this whole marriage idea. And maybe in light of what happened, until you get a better understanding of what this is all about, you need a little reminder. This is your punishment. You have to wear this every day so that you remember you're married.
Gladly.
It dawned on me when I was walking around out there that while you wrote a funny book about vows, you never actually wrote any vows from you to me.
Oh, I did. But then that wedding never happened.
because we all make stupid mistakes.
You were saying, vows.
I took the liberty of making up some vows for you. Repeat after me, please. I will never kiss another man other than my husband.
I will never kiss another man other than my husband.
I will stop worrying about being a boring old married couple because we never will be.
I will stop worrying about being a boring old married couple because we never will be. Are you sure? It's gonna be just us two. Are we enough?
Kid, we're too much.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
How's that for a little sparkle?
That's a lot of sparkle. Why'd you get a black diamond?
Because you're not like anyone else.
Ah, oh, that's a relief. I thought you were going to say it's the color of my soul.
Okay, wait, I have to say that the vows were actually really cute. And
agreed.
I really thought that was like a well-written scene, but it actually really cracks me up because I'm like, you know, are you sure we're enough, just us two? And I'm just laughing because I'm like, this whole movie is about a couple that decides not to have kids.
Yes.
And it's like, for some reason, there's a 3-hour interlude in Abu Dhabi.
1,000%. Yeah, structurally, this thing is bizarre.
It's like, it starts with a woman who was like asked if it's just going to be them two. She never discusses it with her friends. The theme of the movie is that a couple... The whole movie is about one woman feeling insecure about not having children. That conversation is never addressed. It's never discussed. It's never worked through. She just almost dies in Abu Dhabi and then decides everything is fine. I'm like, this is bizarre.
Yeah, I truly don't understand so many of the plotting decisions. They're so
strange. Why did they go
strange.
To Abu Dhabi? For fucking what? And what does Samantha learn after that whole thing?
That she can still have sex on sand dunes and like I suppose like it's like
and then there's is there like, any reunion with Charlotte and Henry
and Harry
yeah
and, well there's just we just have like the closing montage, which is like our last little thing that we're going to cover, but not really. Charlotte for the most part just kind of acknowledges that like she was being irrational, worrying that that Harry would ever cheat on her. And then it all
wraps up in a bow, right?
Wraps up in a bow and wraps in a bow up in a bow with Aaron ending up being gay. So
that's
which
so
also
stupid.
Like,
that's so fucking agreed. Dumb that like, oh, she's not a threat because she's a lesbian. It's like, she's not a threat because your husband's not going to cheat on you.
And also
it's
like,
not like if she was straight, it was going to be a problem.
And also like, she's not even a full character. Like we don't know. we don't know that she's just gay, like she could be bi. Like it's like none of this is addressed because she's not allowed to be a human being. She's
also,
just this character for
she's just tits.
Jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's just like a great rack. Also, does Miranda have any story in this entire movie or
no,
any
she,
conflict?
It's basically she has a tough job with Ron White, her new boss, who's in a scene, and then she quits that job, and then her entire arc is like, I'm gonna be type A about making sure we have fun in Abu Dhabi. And like
that is a woeful misuse of our favorite character, Miss Miranda. She is fun and her shit is fun. Yeah, this movie is really interesting. It's almost like a surreal fever dream of a
yes.
man struggling with whether or not to have children or not. Because like I think Michael Patrick King wrote it.
Yes.
But instead of like really delving into that and making a story that completely takes place in New York and had Carrie like fostering a kid or like spending time with children or like exploring, you know, I think there's so many fun things you could do. If her real worry was, if we don't have kids, are we enough? She's wants to try an open relationship. She tries
yeah.
to go poly. There's so many things you could do in New York.
1,000%.
And
yes.
also her best friends have children and she's got two best friends who have children and one doesn't. It's like, you literally have people to ask about that.
You have like the spectrum of options, like
in
basically
your backyard.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just interesting. I did think that clip when you played it though was really romantic and sweet. and just like really forgiving. I mean, that's the best I've ever seen their relationship. Like, yes, I actually like that scene because it's like he's fucked up so many times, but he's also showing a lot of grace to her. Like,
yeah, it's also like they cheated with each other. Like they know.
He's no
and
saint.
It's kind of, exactly. And it's like him sort of just being like, I know you fucked up. We have fucked up together. I have cheated on people. Like, we can be together and we should be comfortable being together. And it's actually like, I wish that were more on screen because Big and Carrie are not together that much in this movie. And like their conflict is actually the interesting thing.
Yeah, they have so much better chemistry than her just like being in the desert with this like sweet guy who loves his wife. I also think that this scene is cool because it kind of like, and again, I've never been cheated on and I've never cheated. I'm sure it would be absolutely devastating. And I'm not trying to minimize it for people that have been cheated on. But I do think that it's a good representation of like people making mistakes in long-term marriages and relationships and being able to forgive.
Yes, agreed.
Because I think that that is a forgivable mistake because I think it was a horrible, stupid, bullshit thing to do. But ultimately, I think the relationship is beyond worth it. It didn't mean anything.
I also think that like it's said in here when that line, like we're anything but normal. I think it, like just another way of saying that is like we have tried other people. You and I work together better than anything else.
Yes.
So it's like, let's just acknowledge that and try not to strangle that with our anxieties because that's what's happened a lot in this movie. And I also wish that we're more on screen with the two of them just being together rather than this bizarre, we got a big filming incentive tax credit to go shoot in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, it just makes no sense. Okay, lead us out, Mr. Schuyler.
So the second Sex and the City movie closes with another montage. Miranda finds a new, better job. Samantha and Ricard have the sex that got cut short in Abu Dhabi on a Hampton sand dune. Charlotte throws a big birthday party for Rose, which Aaron brings her girlfriend to, and Carrie and Big make out at home. For the time being, they're keeping Carrie's old place, but they aren't using it for their two-day breaks all that often anymore. Instead, they're watching old movies together at home.
I also think that, like, nobody gives a fuck about Ricard. Like, like the fact that that wraps up, that they finally get to have sex, nobody's like, I'm so glad that got taken care of. I was worried.
I at first thought when we first see Samantha having sex on the hood of that car, I thought it was Smith, which would have made a little more sense to me. Like, Ricard is not much of a payoff, and like Smith is the one who gets them invited to the Middle East in the first place, or to Abu Dhabi in the first place.
I just don't know that that would have been that much better.
But Ricard's fully, again, not a character, so it's not a big payoff to just see Samantha hooking up with him.
I also feel like Samantha's such an interesting character because in the show, it ends with her being single, which is pretty interesting by choice, even though there's somebody that she loves very much. And I feel like the movie's had a chance to explore like what that is. And if I'm being honest, if I think about Samantha's character now in 2021, I think Samantha is Polly. I think Samantha would have happily stayed with Smith Jared if she was able to literally fuck anybody else she wanted and go on dates. I think they could have been together for the rest of her life. I think what she does not like is not being able to sleep with other people. But like, I think that would have been such an interesting thing for them to explore instead of just like, oh, because Samantha doesn't want to be like in a cishet monogamous relationship, that means she wants to be single. It's like, well, last time I checked, there's a lot of other options out there.
Yeah. And they do, outside of like in the first movie, like they're gradually coming apart, but like, before that, they like each other a lot. They're very supportive of each other. And like, why shoot that dynamic just because monogamy isn't working? Like, they both met because they love to have sex. Like, they didn't even, Samantha didn't even know Smith's name for the first like bunch of episodes she was sleeping with him. Like, why couldn't just a totally more open dynamic work to maintain their dynamic? And instead, what gets subbed here is Samantha's anxieties about aging and Samantha having hormone issues with her menopause. And it's like, it's
not big enough for a movie.
Yeah. And it's also like kind of crappy relative to this, like kind of cool, more interesting, liberated character where we're just going to have her aging. And like,
yeah, she's already been dealing with that for the whole six seasons. So we're not really being given anything fresh. So that's the movie. We survived it. You survived it. Congratulations. You never have to watch it again.
A true gauntlet. A true trial by fire. This movie.
Lord. We will end the show as we do every show with our favorite segment, Horny For. Sex and the City is a very horny show. So each episode, we like to share things that we are horny for. Skylar, what are you horny for?
So again, in keeping with my who was I this week, I'm endorsing something I haven't yet experienced. I'm horny for something I haven't yet experienced. I'm actually just horny for the idea of this thing. I'm so excited. But Steven Soderbergh is one of my favorite filmmakers. Contagion, the Ocean's movies, Logan Lucky, like Sex, Lies, and Videotape, like Aaron Brockovich. Like, he's got such a crazy, incredible career. And he has a new movie that is on HBO Max called No Sudden Move that has like just an incredible, incredible cast. Don Cheadle, Benicio del Toro, John Hamm, Julia Fox, Amy Simetz, like just like stacked. And it's a crime movie. And it's like, yeah, I'm so excited. Like, I love his heist movies, Out of Sight, incredibly sexy, fun movie. Like, I'm so horny that Steven Soderbergh just pumps him out. I cannot believe how productive he is. He's directed like over 25 movies. Like, it's
you're
nuts.
Horny for his work ethic.
I truly am. He's one of those people where I like, he's like kind of an artistic hero to me, where I'm just like, this guy fully follows his own muse, and he's always experimenting. He shot two movies on iPhones just because like he can. Like, he's nuts. But
I'm very excited for this movie.
I saw him on Hillhurst once wearing a Parasite shirt. And
love
I was
that
like,
movie.
That's very cool to spot him. But anyway, that's what I'm horny for. No Sudden Move. Okay. Rose, what are you horny for?
Skylar, I'm horny for two, possibly three things. One, I'm really horny for the farmer's market. I go to the farmer's market almost every weekend, and I buy a ton of fruits and vegetables. And I make big, gorgeous, I mean, we live in California. We produce like 90% of the United States' fruit and vegetables. And it's just so fresh and delicious here. And it's summer. So like, I've been getting sugar snap peas and corn and tomatoes and peaches and just making like the most amazing salads and greens and just making these really incredible salads. So I'm really horny for being able to eat the incredibly abundant produce of California. I'm horny for Top Chef, even though I've said it before, but I swear to God, I'm on season 14 or 15 and I cry in every episode. They've really managed to make a show about food and family and culture and heritage. And it makes me cry every time. And then the last thing I'm horny for is a French TV show thriller on Netflix called Lupin,
Lupin.
So if you were not saying it the French way, it would be Lupin. It's on Netflix and part two dropped and I gobbled it up. It was just as good as part one. And if you want to watch a fun, sexy French thriller in French with English subtitles with an incredibly sexy lead, it's a great, great watch. You can't swipe and be on Instagram when you watch it because you have to do the subtitles, but it's tons of fun. So you guys, we finished the movies. We finished the show. We will have another episode. I think we're kind of like, you know, roll with us. Life is happening all around us. We will have another episode. This isn't just the end of the show.
Yes.
And Jamie will be back. And thank you for sticking with us and being so flexible. And we know the last few weeks have been a little unusual, but life is a goddamn journey.
1,000%. Thank you so much, listeners. This is so fun. If this movie was bizarre, but
I just had a thought. Listeners, we're not sure what we're doing next week, but if you have any personal questions, questions about the theories or things you want us to talk about, DM us and we are happy to hit that up.
1,000%. Amazing. Thank you all so much. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Couldn't Help But Wonder. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CHBWPod. And follow my co-host, Ro Cerno, on Insta and Twitter at Ro Cerno. And please follow my co-host, Jamie, at ReallyJamieLee on Instagram and at TheJamieLee on Twitter. And please rate, review, subscribe to our show on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app if you're nasty. It helps us, it helps you, it helps everyone.
You nasty.
Bye.
Bye.
Forever.
This has been a Forever Dog production, executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.